You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Minutes after 8 p.m. Central African Time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. A very warm welcome on a very cold evening from the mother city, Cape Town, to the Olive Express. I'm your host, Musa Lahir, with co-host... Humaira Lahir. And where are we coming to you live from?
Cape Town.
Which part of Cape Town?
North.
North. What's the name of this area? Where do you stay?
Panorama.
All right, excellent. Jazakallahu khairan, ahsan al-jaza, for joining us this evening. Spiritual hour of upliftment. And yes, it's always good to be in the comfort of your homes. And alhamdulillah, on this Mubarak Laylatul Jum'ah, it's an absolutely thrilling, beautiful night. The weeks are going by so fast. Before you know it, we're going to have Qurbani. Are you looking forward to Qurbani, Humaira?
Gee.
Really?
Gee.
Are you not scared?
I'm scared.
Of what?
The sheep's blood.
The sheep's blood?
Yeah.
But you're not scared of the sheep, are you?
No.
Are you scared of goats?
No.
We had goats on the farm before.
I'm not scared of the goats.
And what about cows?
Yeah, cows.
Cows you scared of. All right, excellent. So we're going to open up our line 067. Tell us the number.
067-914-8154.
You can call us or you could send us a WhatsApp message or a voice note and we'll play it out live on the Olive Express on Laylatul Jumu'ah. And, okay, let's talk a little bit about Qurbani. Qurbani is coming up, Humaira. And, alhamdulillah, I think people in and around South... Now, Cape Town's different, isn't it?
Gee.
So, why is it different? Because we can't really see the animals here, hey?
True.
So, in Cape Town, just so the listeners know, it's not like... what I've always experienced in Johannesburg, in the middle of Fortsburg, subhanallah, in the middle of Somaliland, Mogadishu, and just a block away from Masjid al-Falah, used to find people selling sheep, goats, and cattle. So every day, or almost every day, we used to go and we used to play with the sheep and we used to feed the sheep and we used to play with the goats and what have you. But here in Cape Town, that's completely forbidden. Nothing like that is allowed here. For whatever reason it is, Allahu A'lam. So people have to actually go out almost, I think from here, one of the closest Muslim farms that he's doing Qurbani is almost about 30 minutes drive from here. So it's really, really difficult. And obviously, 30 minutes here in Cape Town is like 2 hours in Johannesburg because the people here don't like to drive. They don't like to drive even 5-10 minutes. It's too far for them. So Allah knows best, you know. It's a different challenge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And inshallah, this Qurbani, Humaira, we are going to Egypt, inshallah. We are going to perform our Qurbani in Egypt, bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. All right, but that's discussion for another day. But Qurbani, let's talk about Qurbani, the sheep, right. Humaira, what... are you allowed to do with this? Are you allowed to ride a sheep?
Gee.
No, you can't ride on a sheep. You can ride on a horse. Well, Humaira is small, so Humaira used to actually sometimes jump on top of the sheep and the sheep used to give her a little bit of a ride. But anyone that's a little bit bigger, you're not allowed to ride on the sheep or on the goats. or even the cattle, because you can get hurt very badly. Imagine riding on a cow with those big horns, and the cow goes crazy and he starts kicking.
Or bull.
Or bull, yes. So you have to be very, very careful, isn't it? And what about a camel? Have you ever slaughtered a camel?
No.
So I slaughtered a camel in Somalia a few years ago. And it was really, really different. Camels got a long neck. So what they do is they then turn the neck to the side and they tie it to the feet. Because a camel has two defense mechanisms, Humaira. One is it can kick you and hurt you really badly. And the second is it can bite your head off. Imagine biting your whole head off. His mouth can open so big that he can actually put his whole mouth, your whole head will fit in his mouth, and he can just snap it off like that there. So they tie the head to the body, and obviously then it's exposed. And I believe there's two methods. One is where they literally just stab it and then slit it open. We didn't go that route. We went with the proper zabah route, where you slice it from one ear to the other ear, or from one side of the neck to the other side of the neck. And a camel, subhanallah, is a very calm animal. He doesn't kick. He doesn't, you know, once he's been slaughtered, he just lays down and the blood flows. Well, that particular camel, I haven't seen other camels getting slaughtered. He just laid down and he cried a little bit. And next thing, he was gone to the akhirah. Wouldn't you enjoy, or wouldn't you look forward to slaughtering a camel? Inshallah. Maybe someday we will be able to slaughter a camel. But camel meat, camel milk is very, very healthy. Alhamdulillah. It tastes better than cow milk. And it has more nutrients and vitamins in it. And it's much more healthy. And a lot of people think that, you know what, in order to drink camel milk, your stomach needs to be strong. Otherwise, you'll get a running tummy or whatever. But it's not like that. It's not like that. Camel milk is very, very soft on the tummy. In fact, I think cow milk, because of the amount of lactose in it and all the chemicals that they put in the cow's milk, that is more harsher on the tummy than the camel itself. But anyway, enough of camels and goats and cows and bulls and goats. Goats are very nice. In Zimbabwe, they only slaughter goats. Okay, they do slaughter cattle, but it's very expensive. But a lot of people slaughter goats. And goat meat is much, much more healthier than lamb or sheep. You know that, Humaira?
No.
Are you going to eat some goat meat? So, inshallah, we are going to be slaughtering some goats in Egypt. And I think you'll get a chance to taste goat meat. It's really, really nice. Alhamdulillah. Bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. All right, 067-914-8154 is the magical number to dial. And we're taking your calls. We're taking your messages. It's the Olive Express live and exclusive to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, coming to you live from a very, very cold Cape Town this evening. We've had some, in fact, I think I need to give a pre-warning to the Johannesburg and Durban listeners that we believe some snow is going to be falling over this weekend and the next few days. Not in Cape Town per se, Northern Cape, yes. Some in the Eastern Cape. And they're saying on Monday or Tuesday, the mountain tops of the Western Cape. So maybe we'll be able to see it on top of Table Mountain, some snow there. So you know what that means to the Joburg listeners? Get your blankets out, get your jackets out, get your mozas out. It's going to be bitterly, bitterly cold. I think it's the start of winter, finally. And I say, you don't like winter?
No.
Why not? Is it too cold?
Yeah.
You like summer?
No.
You don't like summer?
No.
What do you like?
Autumn.
Autumn? So we're still in autumn, technically. All right. So, okay. So you like weather that's neither too hot nor too cold. Okay, but all weather is good because all weather comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only sends that which is good. Yes, it can be cold weather or it can be extremely hot weather, but we don't ever say it's bad weather. Right? We don't ever say that it's bad weather. And that's our first lesson on tonight's show of the Olive Express on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Humaira, do you want to remind us what is the call-in number and the messaging number?
067-914-8154.
A little slower.
067-914-8154.
Okay. That's a bit of a singing tone, but anyway, good luck. Alhamdulillah. Oh, yeah. Alhamdulillah. All right. Humaira. Now we coming to our Seerah segment. Today we discuss the Aqaba and the first pledge. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, right? And there were people coming from which city to embrace Islam?
From Medina.
Madinatul Munawwara. Right. So the first group came, and then the second group came, and then the third group came. And then finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expressed his desire, his wish to leave Makkah Mukarramah. So what did the people of Medina do? Yes, they said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you come to Medina Munawwara and we will assist you and help you and be with you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission to the Sahaba and Hijrah commenced. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu were waiting for the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they too could make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. Okay, so as far as the hijrah is concerned, we will discuss that probably next week, inshallah. But Madina Munawwara is a very, very special place. Why? Because this became the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from here, Islam spread to the four corners of the world. And that's why today, Humaira, right here in the southern tip of Africa, in Cape Town, alhamdulillah, there's so many Muslims, all because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making the beautiful effort in Madinatul Munawwara. So we must make a lot of dua. Right now, Humaira, there are so many hundreds of thousands of people that are going for Hajj. And everybody that goes for Hajj, alhamdulillah, they either go, most of them go to Madina Munawwara before Hajj. So they are there now, and probably in the next 1-2 days or weeks or whatever it is, they will then go to Makkah Mukarramah, they will perform Umrah, and then they will head off to Aziziyah. But Madina Munawwara is very special. And I think you have some good memories of Madina Munawwara. One memory I have of you children, when you were coming into Madina Munawwara, there was a nasheed that you used to sing. And it was a nasheed on salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you remember that nasheed, Humaira? Humaira, can you remember it? Are you thinking? Ya man sallayta. Can you say a few words for us? Just a few words, don't be shy. Okay, Humaira's a bit shy. Humaira, come on. Make our listeners a little happy today. Okay, a little later, she says. Khair, so that is Madinatul Munawwara, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to sing for us? No, she doesn't want to sing for us. She's shy. So, not a problem. Maybe a little later, okay? Okay? Say inshallah. So anyway, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Madinatul Munawwara, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the sunnah of Madina Munawwara. You know, you go there and you in the suhbah, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And subhanallah, it just, you think of the Sahaba, you think of Badr, you think of Uhud, you think of Khandaq, you think of all of these events that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, Humaira, let me ask you, did you ever get a chance to go right in front of the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And how was it? Was it a good experience for you? Alhamdulillah. And what was your feeling the first time you saw the Green Dome? Okay, Humaira is very shy today. I think she's got hiccups. All right, not a problem, inshallah. We're going to ask Lukolo to line up a beautiful nasheed, inshallah. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with your calls. And we'll go into our maktab section as well as our sunnah section of the program on Olive Express. Live and exclusive to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, 067-914-8154. Stay with us.
Suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushke khutan suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushke khutan suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushke khutan tut kar jaise gir jayega ye kangan meri maa to hai jannat mein maston magan tut kar jhoot jayega ye kangan meri maa to hai jannat mein maston magan kaise tujhko kahu phir se aa ja yahan kaise tujhko kahu phir se aa ja yahan meri maa सब्र करता तो हूँ सब्र आता नहीं सामने तेरी सूरत कोई लाता नहीं सब्र करता तो हूँ सब्र आता नहीं सामने तेरी सूरत कोई लाता नहीं तेरा पैगाम अब कोई लाता नहीं दर्द दिल हाय रे मेरा जाता नहीं तेरा पैगाम अब कोई लाता नहीं दर्द दिल हाय रे मेरा जाता नहीं किसको अपनी सुनाएंगे हम दास्तां किसको अपनी सुनाएंगे हम दास्तां मेरी माँ
p.m. Central African Time. It is the Olive Express, live and exclusive to Markaz Sahaba with your host Musa Lahey and Humaira. And Humaira is really in a mood today. She doesn't want to talk. Why don't you want to talk today, Humaira? Is your sister troubling you?
She pinched me.
Oh, no. She pinched you. Why did she pinch you? Right. Okay, you spider out nice there. Okay, let's carry on with the program. 067-914-8154. Now, the beauty is that her sister pinched her, and the sister was blaming me for pinching her. But the truth always comes out. So, yeah, alhamdulillah. 0679148154. All right, Humaira, are you ready for today's quiz? No. Are you ready? It's an easy quiz. I already told you before the program what it's going to be. The sunnats of eating. Are you ready?
Gee.
Steady. Go. Supposed to start eating. Oh. Okay. What's the first thing you do?
Wash your hands.
You wash your hands. Correct. Do you dry your hands with the towel after washing them?
Gee.
No. You don't dry your hands. Right. And this is a very important sunnah. A lot of people forget it. So what happens is they go to the bathroom. They wash their hands and then they take the towel and they wipe their hands. Then they come and sit on the table. Don't do that. Wash your hands. Leave them wet. Right? You don't have to leave them now. Dripping, dripping, dripping. You can, I don't know what you call it, spray your fingers like that. They're in the bath, in the sink. And then come and sit. Right. So we washed our hands. Now what do we need to do?
Topi for boy.
Okay, I will get my scarf, right?
Sit down.
We sit down.
We put a dastarkhan.
So we sit on the floor. Right, very good. Then?
We eat it after.
Oh, you forgot something.
We read our dua.
What is the dua?
Bismillah.
What does that mean?
In the name of Allah, and with the blessings of Allah.
Okay. And if you forget that dua, then what do you read?
Bismillah.
Correct. Now you can start eating. And when you eat...
You eat with three fingers.
Which three fingers? The baby finger?
Your thumb.
Your thumb.
Your shahada finger.
Your shahada finger. Right, correct. These three fingers, as far as possible. But now sometimes you're eating rice or you're eating something that's very difficult to use only three fingers. It is permissible to use a fourth finger or even a fifth finger in that case. But these three should be the most important fingers. And preferably the shahada finger is the one that enters the mouth when you're eating. All right. So, what else? What other sunnahs can you remember?
Must put your food in a second plate.
In where?
In one side.
So, let's say this is the plate, right? This page. And there's food here, there's food here, there's food here, there's food here. Can you jump over there and get the food? Or do you eat what's closest to you?
You eat what's closest to you.
That's an important sunnah. All right. What else?
Lick your fingers after you eat.
The listeners can't hear you.
You lick your fingers after you eat.
Correct.
And then you read your dua after eating.
And what is the dua?
Alhamdulillah,
alladhi at'amana. Right. Another important sunnah is to make sure that your plate is clean. Right? You're not allowed to leave food for shaitan. So you must clean your plate correctly. Make sure that nothing is left over in the plate. Because when you're leaving food over, who's going to eat it?
Shaitan.
Do we want to feed shaitan?
No.
No. So, that is how we're going to eat. Now I'm going to teach you something else, Humaira. There are three sunnah ways of sitting, the sitting position on the dastarkhan. Do you know the three sunnah ways? So the first one is to sit in the tashahud position. The same position that you read your salah. You know when you're reading at-tahiyat? That position you sit. The second position is by lifting up one leg, either the right leg or the left leg. Or you can keep the right leg lifted, and when you're feeling tired, then you put that one down, and then you put the left leg. And then the third method is that you're standing on your toes, but both legs up. So instead of one leg up, you've now got, let me see if I can do this for you. You've got two legs up like this here, and you eat like that. Do you understand? So that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And very important, can we eat, Humaira, can we just eat and stuff ourselves until we can't even walk? I know you'll do that Ramadan time. Right? Are you allowed to stuff yourself?
No.
So you have to eat one third food, one third drink, and leave one third for air. Right? So you shouldn't eat so much that you can't, you know, some people, they eat so much they can't even stand up. Are you like that, Humaira?
No.
Well, you eat like a little pigeon. So I don't think you fall. You don't even fall in the one-third, one-third, one-third bracket. Unless it's cottage pie. Or pasta. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite? And then you recite your dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana minal muslimin. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has fed us and given us something to drink, and who has made us from amongst the Muslimin. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And then what do you do after that, Humaira?
Wash your hands.
What do you do?
You wash your hands.
You wash your hands. You can even use soap. Now can you use a towel?
Gee.
Now you can use a towel. So before eating, you don't use a towel. After eating, you can use a towel. If you don't want to use a towel, that's your choice. But now you can use a towel if you have to. All right, let's go to our messages all the way from Zambia, as always. Chipata, let's start with our first one. Oh, my.
Hello.
Okay, it seems to be connected to Muawiyah's hearing aids, but let's try again. Okay, let's try one more time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Abdullah Adam from Chipata, Zambia. I'm going to read Surah Al-Ikhlas today. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Surah Al-Ikhlas. Kul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Jumu'a barak all to my family in Lusaka, Chipata, Mitwahwa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, absolutely beautiful. What do we say, Humaira?
MashaAllah,
Surah Al-Ikhlas. Alhamdulillah. And you know, if you read Surah Al-Ikhlas three times, what is the reward?
The whole Quran.
It's equivalent to reciting the whole Quran. All right, let's listen to his young brother now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kalima etamji subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah alayhi al-azim. Imam Barak, all everybody make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What do we say?
MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. Are you tired again, Humaira? Last week, little Humaira told us, oh, I'm very tired, I'm going to sleep. And then I caught her running around and we had to do the sunnats of sleeping. And that's how we started off the new segment on the program. So Humaira, it was all your barakat, but now you're not eating anything. So maybe we have to give you something to eat so you can practice on the sunnah. No? She doesn't want to eat. Okay, Humaira's in a mood today because her sister pinched her. So that just turned her mood off for the evening. But anyway, alhamdulillah, it's going to bring us now to the segment on our maktab. And now I want you guys also to pay attention to today's lesson. So last week, we discussed how students shouldn't become angry when the ustad, the maulana, or the apa corrects them. So when maulana tells you this is not correct, then you cannot get angry and you cannot throw a tantrum and start crying or fake crying. I learned something. The learners sometimes fake cry just to look for sympathy from the maulanas or the appas. Okay, but anyway, today's lesson is very similar to, or rather as a follow-up for last week. Sometimes your appa or your maulana will be teaching you and will be correcting you. And sometimes worse than becoming angry is when you back answer your maulana or you back answer your appa. So, for example, they are telling you, you need to pull the mad here, you need to pull an ikhfa here, you need to make izhar here, you need to make idgham here. They are teaching you the different rules of tajweed, etc. And then you say, but I said that. I know I said that. Blah, 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 blah. They go on, you know, like that there, and they start putting up a bit of a fist fight with the ustad or the maulana or the appa. That is very, very disrespectful. Is it not, Humaira? It's very disrespectful. So whatever your teacher is teaching you, remember, your teacher is there for your benefit. They are there to help you. And you may not appreciate it now, but 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, maybe even 30 or 40 years later, I still remember when I was in Maktab, I had two ustads, main ustads, Maulana Ismail Bahadur and Qari Musa Mangera Sahib. Maulana Bahadur is late. May Allah fill his qabr with noor and grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So he taught us the foundation phase, Alif. At that time was Ali Bay Tete, right? And all of that there. And then Qari Sahib taught us then the more advanced. But everything we learned there, subhanAllah, has still remained in my life. And alhamdulillah, when we went to Darul Uloom and we improved on a lot of things that we had learned. But the foundation, the basic was there, right? So sometimes your maulana will shout at you, or not even shout. They will admonish you. They will tell you what you're doing is wrong. You cannot then back answer them. What do you mean I'm doing wrong? Sometimes we hear you students like that. Hey, Humaira, do you fight like that in the classroom sometimes? Or are you good students?
Good
students. Madrasa Isha'atul Deen students. Very good, mashallah. But anyway, sometimes learners will get a bit over themselves and they start back-chatting with the maulana or the appa. This is very, very disrespectful. We don't realize by doing this, then maybe a week later or a month later, we'll be struggling to learn something that is very easy. And we get frustrated with ourselves that how come I can't learn this here? And you know why you can't learn it? Because a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, you shouted at your appa or you shouted at your maulana or you back-chatted them in some way when they were trying to teach you. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, Allah ta'ala puts a temporary block there. Not that any maulana or any appa wants that student to have that block. But it's just there sometimes to remind us to be humble, to be exercise humility. We are there to learn who knows better. Do we know better or does the Apa and the Molana know better?
The Apa and Molana.
So when they correct us, we must say Alhamdulillah. Because if they didn't correct us, all our lives we'd be reading wrong. Am I right? So when they make you do revision over and over and over again of your du'as, of your surahs, of your kalimas with meanings, it's for your benefit. It has to remain there in this little brain of yours and your little heart is hiding away for the rest of your life. Right? So the revision is very important. And we know we are living in a time where I would say 90, if not 95, if not 99% of students very rarely go home and revise over their homework. Right? That is the times that we are living in. And when we were small, we had to go home, make sure that we do our madrasa work, make sure that we did our school work. But today's times, I don't think children do their madrasa work at home. So it's a lot bigger responsibility for the apas and the molanas because they have to be the parent, as well as the teacher, as well as the friend, as well as the co-student, as well as the mentor, as well as the confidant. So we play a lot of roles. And parents also need to appreciate this, yeah, and try to make it easy wherever possible for the apas and the molanas. And sometimes we think, ah, oh, but you know what, I'm paying their salary and what have you. What salary? What salary are you paying? I haven't come across a maktab that charges more than 300 rand a month. I don't know. Allahu alam. 300 rand, but you're paying 3,500 rands a month in school. Anyway, that's a topic for the bigger people, inshallah, for another day. But yeah, parents, try to help your children. You know, we're always looking for good results in our children. We want to see them progressing, but parents also have to take a very positive role in helping with the maktab and the madrasa, inshallah. And most importantly is punctuality, right? If you got a doctor's appointment, or you got an optometrist appointment, or you got this appointment or that appointment, do it in the morning. Do it school time. Don't do it in the afternoon. Don't do it during maktab time. All those appointments, do it during school time. Don't miss your madrasa at all. All right, Lukolo is our engineer. Lukolo, we ask you to play us one last nasheed, inshallah. And then when we come back, we'll be wrapping up this evening's program of the Olive Express, live on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Do stay with us.
Khuda ne mujhe ko diya maa teri duaon se khuda ne mujhe ko diya maa teri duaon se uruj mujhe
Oh,
ویرانے پہ دشمن بلے بلے
تھے. Minutes before 9 p.m. Central African time, and it's almost going to bring us to the close of this evening's program. We just revise very briefly on the sunnats of Yawmul Jumu'ah. We try to get up as early as possible, read our Salatul Fajr. For the young boys and the men, go away to the masjid or the musalla. The ladies and the young girls and the babies, read salah at home. Then we need to take a nice ghusl, right? We need to brush our teeth with miswak. We need to apply some itar for the men folk again, not for the ladies and the girls. We apply some surma in the eyes. We apply oil to the hair and the beard. This is a good sunnah to practice upon. And we wear the best clothes that we have. Doesn't have to be new, but the best clothes, preferably white. Go away early to the masjid and listen attentively to the bayan, and don't engage in any worldly talk. Recite Suratul Kahf during the course of the day, and after Salatul Asr, don't forget to recite your 80 durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Okay, a little bit distracted there because our Zakiya wants to know, for the girls, what color can you wear? You can wear any color. You're in the house. So you can wear any color as long as it is loose-fitted clothing, nothing tight. Make sure your hair is covered. Okay? And you'll practice on all those sunnats. You can put oil in your hair also, alhamdulillah. You take a ghusl, you brush your teeth with miswak, you engage in durood and salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you recite your 80 durood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with all of us. We try to recite our Suratul Kahf. Every Friday, inshallah, there's great, great rewards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and accept us for his deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a noor on our faces that will last from one Friday to the next Friday. Coming up shortly, inshallah, we'll leave you in the company of Hazrat Maulana Salim Kareem Sahab, Daman Barakatuhu, on Markaz Sahaba on this beautiful Laylatul Jumu'ah. And of course, we request your humble du'as. Do remember us in your du'as. And likewise, inshallah, we too will remember you in our du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and assist the ummah. Allah help the people of Rafah. Allah help the people of West Bank, of Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the people wherever they are suffering, war-torn countries, disaster-stricken countries, poverty-stricken countries, wherever the Muslim ummah is suffering. May Allah help and assist and come to the rescue of the Muslim ummah. Jazakumullahu khairan for joining us, and thank you very much to our engineer Lukolo for keeping us live on the airwaves. Until we meet again, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.